Thank you, Lord, for the word. We thank you for raising up men and women that are teachers, that are prophets, that are apostles, evangelists. Lord, all these various giftings. Father, we pray right now that you just move mightily in this message. Lord, that our hearts would be prepared to take it and receive it as it is. Lord, we pray that we have great understanding of the Spirit of God's role in our life. Move upon Pastor John. Speak through him now. Father, we ask you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Well, I'm sure you know by now that over the last few weeks we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, so far, what we've seen is that whenever God does anything important, whenever He works in this world, it somehow, if it involves us, His people, it involves the heavens or the earth, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will always be involved. And when it, it had to do with Jesus coming to the earth, His birth, His death, His resurrection, the creation of the church, the salvation of, of all of us, everything He's doing in our lives, even right now, that involves the Holy Spirit. When we see, we've also seen the Holy Spirit is, He's alive, and well, and living inside of every one of us who calls ourselves a Christian. We looked at how the Holy Spirit is able to communicate with every one of us, that He can find a way, that, God is able to communicate to us whenever He wants to. He can find a way, whether it's through the stars, whether it's through a donkey, whether it's through a message, whether it's through His Word, whether it's through other people, whether it's sovereignly Him speaking right to us. He finds a way to communicate to us. The last time I spoke, we talked about the power of God and how God has unleashed this power inside of each one of us through His Holy Spirit. And today I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives to help us pray to be powerful and effective prayers. Actually, this is going to be at least 2 weeks, because I know I as I was doing it last night, I said, I can't do all this just in one day. So I sort of cut it off at a certain point. I know I'll be back for a part two, and there very well be maybe even more than that, because prayer is so important. First, we need to make sure that we understand and we know what prayer is. Prayer is not a wish list. And oftentimes, that's what most of the world thinks when we say, oh, I got to pray, I got to pray for that, and they have absolutely no relationship with God, but they think that, just by praying, maybe, that'll be like an answer. It's not a letter to Santa, that, we just write and hope for the best. It's not a magical fountain where we throw our 2 cents in and we just hope that all our dreams and wishes will be fulfilled. That's not what prayer is. It doesn't work that way. Prayer is more like a doorway that opens up so that we can come into the presence of God and get to know Him, get to know His heart. Prayer is where we have fellowship with God, where we talk with God, where it's where we share what's on our heart with Him, and where we also find out His heart for us, His will, His direction, His purpose for our lives. We do, share our needs, we share our concerns, we share the concerns of others with Him, just like we prayed today. He tells us in His Word, if those of you who are sick, get prayer. To come to Him in prayer, to ask Him for things that we need. That's all well and good. But it's here that we also learn in prayer how to take those things then and release them into God's very capable hands. When we spend time with God in prayer, what happens and what should be happening is we should be leaving behind our fears, our doubts, our anxieties, and we should be learning how, because we're getting to know Him during this prayer, we should be learning then how to put our trust in Him. If we really trust Him, then fear and anxiety and just starts to melt away. Prayer is the most important communication we could ever have. God communicated His Word to us through His Bible, a precious book that we have from God, and now He wants to have this ongoing line of communication, unlimited, just like we get unlimited texting, unlimited, you know, talking, sharing, unlimited this or that. God wants us to have unlimited communication with Him. We should be able to see that prayer is supposed to be a very, very important part of our life. And we can see this if we get into the Word of God. Jesus was a perfect example. He was constantly, if you've read the Gospels, you see that Jesus is constantly going off to pray. What, things are going on all around Him. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on there. And then He says, I'm going off to pray. Or He just disappears. He just goes off because He wants to spend time with His Father, our Father. He never did anything without first going to His Father in prayer. John 8:28, Jesus said, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Well, where did God teach him? In prayer. That's when they communicated. That's when His Father spoke to him. The Apostle Paul was constantly telling us about his prayers for us, for the saints. Romans 1:9 and 10, God whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of His Son is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. He prayed at all times. Acts 2:42, we're told that the new believers, those who came into the kingdom, all those who became Christians, were devoted to prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are told to pray without ceasing or pray continuously. So we see the importance of prayer. Over and over and over throughout God's Word, we are reminded how important it is for us as Christians to pray. God considers prayer to be something that should be in the forefront of every person who calls themselves a Christian. And yet most of us usually feel that we don't pray enough. In fact, we sometimes feel that it's more a matter of duty, more of a chore, or even a job. And we try to make ourselves, we try to push ourselves. How many times have we said to ourselves, well, I know I should have prayed. Or I should have prayed first. And I know I should be praying more, but whatever. 10,000 reasons that we didn't end up praying. One of the reasons that we don't pray, or that we don't pray enough, is because sometimes we feel that our prayers are ineffective. That we pray but nothing happened. We say, well, I did pray, but I don't really know if it made a difference. And so what happens then is our prayer life, when we have that kind of an attitude, our prayer life begins to sort of fade and wither. And gradually, regretfully, sometimes it just dies. Why does our prayer life seem ineffective? What are some of the reasons that we feel like our prayers just don't count for that much? Well, sometimes our prayers become habits. We say the same words over and over and over again, day after day. And because we do that, we just do it as a routine, and we don't really expect anything to happen. We're just doing our job. We're just doing our duty, and we're sort of just going through the motions. And routines and habits, I mean, they're good. They really are. But in the midst of that routine, in the midst of that habit, we still have to have something transpire between us and God. There needs to be a connection. Because if we're just doing the routine without touching God, nothing's happening. Then they really are empty words. They really are ineffective. They really are, in fact, worthless. Now, that sounds sort of scary to say that praying could be worthless. But you know what? If we have no heart with God, if we have no connection, no relation, if we don't spend real time getting to know God, getting His heart, those are just empty words. Anybody can say words. Anybody can pray a prayer that means nothing. It's not the words. It's the heart attitude that go along with the words. The words, of course, are important, but the heart needs to be right. There needs to be that relationship with God. We need to meet Him where He is, and we need to meet Him where we are, and there needs to be life, and there needs to be relationship in that meeting between us and God. The habit of praying is good. I would never say that, you know, the habit or the routine of praying is bad. Of course it's good. But to pray by habit and have no life or no relationship is not good. That's why we end up letting those prayers just sort of become sort of fruitless. Another reason our prayers can be ineffective is that we have sin in our life. Sin can definitely hinder our prayers. There's all kinds of examples. I just pulled out one in 1 Peter 3:7 where Peter's talking, and he's obviously talking to the husbands in this church. Maybe he's got a particular guy in mind, I'm not sure. But obviously he's heard something, and so in this letter that he's writing to the church, he talks about the way husbands treat their wives. And he says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner or vessel, and as heirs with you of the precious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." In other words, if you treat your spouse like garbage, your prayers are going to be useless. Strained relationships, unforgiveness, anger, jealousies, negative emotions, unconfessed sin, all those things get in the way. You know, they get in the way. Those are the kind of things that block our prayers, because we got this barrier. We got this wall up between us and God until we break down and deal with this unforgiveness or this jealousy or this greed or anger or whatever it is, repent of it, and then the wall is broken down, and then we're one with God again, and then our prayers, once again, have meaning. If our relationship with God is strained, it's hard to have a good conversation. Think about this. Think of God instead of God, but think about the same thing with your friend. You have a good friend, and then you've done something or many things to offend them. And you know you did it, and they know you did it. Do you feel comfortable calling them up and talking to them? What do? You avoid them, right? You avoid them. When you know you've sinned against your friend, you know you've hurt their feelings, you know you've, you know, somehow done wrong to them, they know it. And the way to bring that relationship back is repentance. It's the only way. We have to clear the air. And then we can talk to that person again. Would you go to that person that you offended? Now they know there's something wrong, there's something between you. Would you go to them and you say, "Hey, you want to go, you know, can you give me a ride?" Of course not. You wouldn't want to ask them a favor, because you feel like an idiot, because you know that you've hurt them. You've done something wrong to them. And so it's the same thing with God. When we know we've done wrong, there's something in us that makes us feel very uncomfortable about going to God, or we say the prayer so shallow that it has no meaning anyway, because we don't want to get close because we know there's something there, right? And so we got to deal with that thing. Another reason that our prayer life can be ineffective is found in James 4:3. When you ask or when you pray, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now see, this flies right in the face of that whole faith message, that, you know, the whole name it and claim it and promise, all that kind of stuff. You can have anything you want. You can get whatever you want. You just, God, you want a new Cadillac? You just ask the Lord. He's going to give it to you, you know? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's pretty straightforward. The natural man prays according to his own will, to his own desires, for his own perceived needs, what I think I want or I need. Not what God knows I need. Not what the Word tells me I need. But I pray because this is something I want. I want to enjoy that. These prayers are usually selfish, right? When the natural man, when the flesh is praying, those prayers are going to be selfish. They're going to be self-inspired and self-centered. When we pray according to the flesh, our sin nature, our prayers are usually nothing but empty words. Again, our sin nature, you know where it leads? It leads to death. God is not going to prop up this sin nature by answering the prayers of the sin nature and making the sin nature stronger. There are things in the flesh that take us away from God. And so you think God's going to give you more of that to bring us even further away from Him? No way. Galatians 6:8 tells us, whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And so God's not going to be a party to that destruction. If we sow prayers to please our flesh, that's what we're doing. We're sowing those prayers in the flesh. We're going to reap destruction. There's no life in them. They're ineffective because God is not... He wants to help us get away from the flesh. He wants to help us move away from the flesh towards the Spirit. Romans 8:5 explains this. It starts in 8:5. It says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So prayers that come out of the mind governed by the flesh will be death. Prayers that come out of the Spirit, a mind that's governed by the Spirit, will bring life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God, even in our prayers. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. When we're acting in our flesh, whatever we do, no matter how nice it seems, is not God's will. It's not pleasing God. You, however, now, he's talking to us, and this is where he wants us to be. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh. At least we shouldn't be. But are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, which we talked about the second week I began speaking, how the Holy Spirit lives in us. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give to your mortal bodies, give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh, to our sin nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. If you pray according to the flesh, your prayers will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. If by the Spirit you pray, your prayers will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So at this point, it should be pretty obvious how we can turn a weak, limited, ineffective prayer life into a powerful, effective prayer life. It all has to do with the Holy Spirit. We just read Galatians 6, verse 8, which said, "Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction." But it goes on there, from there, to say, "Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So when we sow prayers to please the Spirit, as we're sending forth our prayers, sowing our prayers to please the Spirit, from the Spirit we will reap eternal life. Our prayers will have life, and they'll bring life. We need Holy Spirit-led prayers. Those are the prayers that reap life. The truth is that we don't even know how to pray unless the Holy Spirit helps us. That's what it comes down to. We don't really know, like, how to pray. We don't know how to connect to God without the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for." So see, that's not just me saying that. "We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." Only the Holy Spirit can teach us and guide us to pray the way God wants us to, according to His will. Our flesh can't do it. How can our flesh determine what God really wants? It can't. We could say things by rote. We could read somebody else's prayer and maybe pray a nice prayer. It might sound good, but was that the prayer that God wanted us to pray? I doubt it. Even if it happened to be the same prayer, if there was still no spiritual connection, it's still fruitless. Where else then do we turn if we don't go to the Holy Spirit? What are we going to get our ideas for prayer from, Judge Judy, or on Twitter, or, you know, on Facebook? Is that where we get our prayer list, you know what I mean, from? And I mean, we can't learn to pray in those ways. Even Christian books on prayer, I mean, those can be wonderful books, and people are sharing their hearts about what God spoke to them in prayer, but praying their prayers, are their prayers the prayer that God is calling you to pray? No. Sometimes they may, you know, overlap. Yeah, maybe that prayer just happens to be the same one for you, and some of them might, but is it at the right time? Is it in the right place? Is it for the right person? The only one that knows all those answers is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who knows when, what, who, what, when, where, why, and how. God knows. And He wants to reveal it to us through His Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can intercede for God's people in accordance with His will. That's what we just read a minute ago. That's exactly what we read. Only the Holy Spirit can intercede for God's people in accordance with the will of God. That was what I just read in Romans. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is inseparable from Christian prayer. They're like this. They go together better than bread and butter. They got to go hand in hand. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal God's heart to us. We can't understand God's heart apart from the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him, these are the things that God has revealed to us. How? By His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. God wants us to understand what's going on, what He's doing, what He's given us, what His heart is. And only the Holy Spirit can reveal that to us. Only the Holy Spirit can share God's heart so that to the point where we can know what to do in any given situation. That's why we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said, I only speak just what the Father has taught me. He learned in prayer, through prayer, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not only what He spoke, but also His actions. Jesus did so many things. It says that He did so many things that all the books in the world couldn't contain Him. All the good stuff that He did. And even those things, the things that He did, were directed by the Father. They were directed through what He learned in prayer. And that's why Jesus said in John 5:19, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. Now, where did He get that? Where did He get what His Father was doing? He didn't go to the movie theater. He didn't read a book. Well, He did read the Scriptures. But it was in prayer, during all that time in prayer, that God was revealing to him what to do, what to say, how to act, who to pray for, who to heal. All these different things. It was because he was filled with the Spirit that he could learn all these things. We need to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. We're supposed to be growing into the image of God, growing into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, day by day, progressing. We need to be led by the Spirit in all that we do, but especially in our prayer life. It's important because that's where we learn to do those things that we need to do. You know, we talk about being transformed by the renewing of our mind. If we want to be transformed, it's the Holy Spirit, you know, and the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit shows us and helps us to understand the Word of God, as He reveals to us what that Word means, as He helps us to pray and connect with God so we can understand that Word. I mean, as we read the Word, it should be part of our prayer. As we're reading, we're listening to God speak to us. We should be communicating to God as we're reading the Word. We can read. And through that Word, He speaks to us. We speak back. It's not just read and be done. this is a good way for God to communicate to us. Because then we know. Then we know we got God's word. It's not some other spirit trying to get to us. Jude 1:20 says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." We should be seeking constantly to be filled more and more and more with the Holy Spirit. Our ability to have an effective and a powerful prayer life is totally dependent, completely, totally dependent upon the measure of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit received by us, working in us. And I say dependent on how much of the Holy Spirit we receive, because it's not, the limit does not come from God. The limit comes from us. We are the one who puts the limit on how much of the Holy Spirit is in our life. John 3:34 says, "For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit," guess what? "Without limit." Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, without limit, without measure. And God gives the Holy Spirit without limit. So, the amount of the Holy Spirit that's working in our life, however much the Holy Spirit is able to work and live and flow and be in our life, is dependent upon us. We are the ones who put the limit on how much the Holy Spirit can be in our life and how much the Holy Spirit can do in our life. The fact is, the truth is that the Holy Spirit can do more in our life and through us than anything we could ever imagine. Sometimes that's the reason we put the limit on. Sometimes it's not even because we're doing something bad, or it's just that we just can't imagine that we could even do this thing. So we just automatically say, "Well, I can't do that." And God's saying that through the Holy Spirit, through His power, that we can do more than we could imagine, more than we can ask. Ephesians 3:20, "Now in Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." Now, guess what that power that's at work within us is? The Holy Spirit. So He's telling us right there that you can do more than you could ask for, more than you can imagine, when the Holy Spirit's working in you. That power, we know it's the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 tells us you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So a mighty, powerful prayer life is the result of a mighty, powerful operation of the Holy Spirit in us. It's ours if we really want it. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, because the way to be filled with more of the Spirit is we have to die to ourselves. So we got to kill off this self, this fleshly sin nature. We have to put to death the misdeeds of the body, so that the more of the Holy Spirit then can come in. You kill it off here, the Holy Spirit comes in. It's just this constant thing, and that's how we get filled up. The greatest example of that powerful prayer life, the greatest example we ever saw, was Jesus. And that's because it says that He was filled with the Holy Spirit without measure. He didn't have any limits. And that's why He could hear God. That's why he could see what God wanted him to do. He knew exactly what to do. And that's why every time he prayed, it happened. Whatever he prayed happened. Everything he set his mind to happened. Because there was no blockage. He was one with his Father. I and the Father are one. And now it's our job to learn to be one with him, to be filled with the Spirit, so that our prayer life can become powerful, like Jesus's. As we learn to grow more and more in the Spirit, we're going to see that our prayers become more powerful and effective. It will happen. So next week we're going to come back to this, and we're going to look at even more ways how we're going to have more powerful prayers and become more effective prayers, more effective prayer warriors. Because I'm telling you, God wants this for you. For you. Not for your neighbor. Not, oh, she's such a prayer. Oh, she prays. So it's her. She's God. No, God wants it for all of us. He wants it for this church. He wants it for his people. He wants to bless our socks off. He wants to do great things in us and through us. And he wants us to have that ability to do amazing, miraculous things. And those will happen as we hear what his will is and we speak it out. As we hear his will, we're not just saying something and grabbing hold of anything around and claiming it and saying, but we hear his will. We're led by his Spirit, and then we pray it, and then it happens. That's pretty powerful. And that's what God's looking for in his people. He wants his people, he wants us to be the most powerful force on this earth. We should be controlling this nation. We should. Christians should be controlling the nation, and instead we've been constantly more and more and more pushed into our little buildings. God says he wants to get us out of our buildings, out of our little safety zones, our comfort zones, and he wants us to begin to be powerful forces for good, agents for good, out in this world, making a difference all over the place. And the ability is in us, because it's the Holy Spirit in us. It could happen. It will happen as we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us. So let's, if I could have the prayer team come forward. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you think enough of us, that you trust us enough that you would put your Holy Spirit inside of us and allow us to speak and to move and to do things on your behalf, that you would allow us to be your ambassadors going out into this world. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful ambassadors, that we would be faithful workers, that we would be good workmen, not ashamed, but correctly handling the word of truth that you've given to us. That we would allow your Holy Spirit to live and move and have our being inside of us. That we would be truly led by your Spirit and be your sons and daughters. That we would see great things happening in our midst. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. Fill us up. Fill us up today, right now, with your Holy Spirit. Once again, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon this church in a greater and greater and greater measure. Lord God, that we would never be satisfied with where we are, that we would always want to move forward. Always wanting to move forward in you, Lord God. Pressing on towards the mark of our high calling in Christ our Lord, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And Lord, I pray you bless the food upstairs, the snacks, Lord God, the fellowship. And Lord, I just pray that this would just be a tremendous week for every person here, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. I pray your blessing upon your people here and all those who hear this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Amen.